get ready.
Man, I don't ever want to be so woke that me and the KKK are out here agreeing on the same shit. Before they were killing people to keep us from voting, now we talk ourselves out of the shit.
For real talk.
Before you get out here loud and wrong talking about minimum wages and starter jobs, educate yourself on why the minimum wage was created in the first damn place.
All the time.
You shouldn't be the same person you were 10 years ago. You should be growing towards a better you every day. And the only ones who will be threatened by that are the ones who refuse to grow and are scared their ass gonna get left behind.
Welcome to the Span Report with your host, Mr. Span.
Nigga can't shoot worth a damn.
Ain't gonna play around, period.
Damn, my shoulder hurt. Sir, you're gonna have to stop. You are blowing the holy hell out of my ceiling. All that smoke and stuff is from where you're shooting that gun with no stop, and you are... Children's
stuff, you're blowing the living
daylights out of my ceiling. Okay, thank you. And I don't know who let you in, but you cannot shoot this gun without a stop.
Shorty just posing.
This gun, it doesn't have a stop.
Oh, man.
Okay, but please, you have done massive amounts of damage to my room. Okay? You can't do that.
Nigga missed the whole target, G. Oh, man. Buddy missed a whole fucking target, man. Oh, my God, man. Yo. Welcome to the redo of episode 305 of the Span Report. I am your host, Mr. Span. And, yo, man, they tried to shut us down, baby. The power went out while we were recording earlier today. And 5 hours later, here we are trying to do the same shit. Again, shout out to my man Brian for sending me that on Twitter, man. This nigga shot up the whole damn range, man. Okay, so for those of you who aren't watching live right now, this guy was at a gun range. He was shooting an AR-15 pistol and he missed the entire target. Like, the whole time he was shooting the fucking ceiling. And he had, like, instead of a buttstock, he had like a buffer tube on the AR-15 pistol. It may have been AR-47, who knows? But either way, he didn't know what he was doing. He for damn sure can't shoot. And it was weird because it was funny because old girl just like, so long as the guns go boom, she like, we don't play around, period. Like, you don't hit shit either. You know what I'm saying? You're gonna damn sure hit the wrong motherfucker. And although that isn't funny, but still, the fact that old white man came out like, man, you done caused massive damage, bro. Like, stop shooting it. Y'all remember that clip on what was that, Harlem Nights, when he was like, stop shooting that little shit? He not shooting the little shit. He just ain't hitting the shit he's supposed to. But he didn't hit the target once, man. So yeah, man, I feel like as the day has gone on and all of the dumb shit that's been happening, especially around this like power outage and shit that kept me from doing the show earlier, that was apropos, but yo, man, like I said, this is episode 305 of the Span Report podcast, man. And before we get into the whole show, man, I do need to remind you guys how to get in touch with us over here at the Span Report podcast. Let your voice be heard. You can go ahead and hit up the hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave us those voicemail messages. And, of course, those messages will get read here live, played here live on the show and responded to in kind. And you can also call us live as we do this here on Facebook, YouTube, and Periscope. So we are live on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube right now. So if you're watching the show, you can hit up, you know, hit up the hotline, call me, and we can chop it up while we're doing the show, right? Area code 313-288-0485. You can also email us here at feedback@thespanreport.com. That's feedback@thespanreport.com. Go ahead and leave us those emails, and of course, those emails will get read here and reply to here live on the show as well. Follow your man Span on Twitter and Instagram. My name on both of those platforms is Mr_Span. So you can go ahead and follow me there, chop it up with your man Span throughout the week. You can also hit up our website at www.thespanreport.com. You can go there and watch replays of the show. You can donate to the show as often as you like, as much as you like, and of course we really do appreciate every dime over here at the Span Report Podcast Network. You can go there and buy yourself some merchandise, man. We got t-shirts, we got coffee mugs, we got hoodies, we got face masks, we got a whole lot of stuff in our store, man. So go to our website, copy yourself some merch. It really does help us keep the lights on here at the Span Report Podcast, man. Real talk. Leave us a 5-star review on iTunes and or Stitcher Radio. Those 5-star reviews are the ones that get read here live on the show. We really appreciate everyone who does that. It doesn't cost you a dime. Just a couple minutes of your time to let everyone know why you're rocking with us over here at the Span Report Podcast Network, man. Real talk. And you can do that on iTunes. You can do that on Stitcher Radio. You can do that on Podcast Addict. Yeah, those are the three ones. And then on CastBox, I know you can leave comments on CastBox. If you're listening to us via CastBox, you can leave us comments there. And we will read those comments here live on the show, man. Real talk. And, yo, I think I got all of the business out of the way. Yeah, I think I got it all out of the way, man. So, yeah, it's, like I said, this is the second time we tried to record this episode, man. We had a power outage earlier today, man. I was like 20 minutes into the show and then shit just shut the fuck down. It was kind of crazy, man. And one good thing that kind of came up out of this, though, right? Shout out to Auntie Christina, man. My wife's aunt, man, like, kind of looked out. And so this bottle here, man, I got a bottle of this Crown Royal Peach here. I've been nursing this bottle of Crown Royal Peach for about 2.5-3 months, man. Like, I ain't touched it. I ain't allowed nobody to touch it, man, because it was low. You know what I'm saying? And for whatever reason, man, Crown Royal ain't been really pumping out the Crown Royal Peach in the way they wish they should, man. They've been like having us droughting out here in Detroit, bruh. Or better yet, it ain't even so much the drought. Some of these liquor stores been out here gouging on the pricing and shit too. But Auntie Christina looked out, let me know where they had some at, and I was able to go cop a couple more bottles. So now I can finish this motherfucker off, man. I can finish this boy off. We'll probably finish this off by the end of the podcast, man. Real talk. But yeah, man, I was able to go do that since the power was out and I couldn't podcast. I couldn't, you know, I really couldn't do nothing, man. It was just like, yo, man, I'm just sitting here twiddling my thumbs, trying to be on Twitter, trying to be on Facebook. And this is the other thing. This is the other thing. So T-Mobile, talk about their 5G network, man. Their 5G network is ass by my house, bro. When my power went out and my Wi-Fi went out, it was a stark reminder of how shit T-Mobile service is by my career, man. It is no excuse for that. I might as well have been on dial-up, man. Real talk. I'm on Twitter and it's like taking hours of, like, you know, well, not hours, but, you know, it feels like hours where you're like watching videos and shit and it's buffering or whatever. Like, I'm on 5G. Why the fuck is this shit buffering, bro? It don't even make sense, man. But they selling that 5G shit and, you know, maybe there was something to it, to you COVID-19 conspiracy theorists, motherfuckers. Maybe it was something to it, man. I don't know. But, yo, we got let me get off into the show. I got some random thoughts, right? Got some random thoughts. I did these earlier, but they're still random, man. There's still like some things that I have been thinking about over the course of the week, man. Real talk. But my first random thought, well, actually has to do with the situation that happened to me a couple nights ago. So I was on my way home from work. I did like 12 hours at work or something. And I was beat, like I was tired and shit. And I said, well, you know what? I had a taste for catfish and I knew of a spot that was kind of close to the house. Not exactly the closest, but, you know, my favorite spot ain't that close at all. And I didn't feel like driving all the way over there. And by the time I got over there, it had been closed anyway. So I found this other spot in Lincoln Park, Michigan, man. Shout out to Lincoln Park, Michigan. But I went to this spot and I was on my way there to go pick my food up or whatever. And as I'm driving, there's like this Ford F-150 and shit that's like driving kind of like alongside me or whatever. And there was this like woman in like the back seat of the Ford F-150 and she's throwing this out right here, right? White lady, she's throwing this out, right? And I'm not really thinking much of it, kind of like lost in my own little thing. And, you know, I got my podcast playing in the car or whatever, just riding. And I'm not really paying her much attention until like I get alongside them and I just so happen to kind of turn and look. And when I turn and look, This chick is in the back seat. It's like, you fucking nigger. Take your punk ass home. You fucking nigger. Go back to your old goddamn neighborhood. You don't belong here. Fucking nigger. And I was... I just laughed, bro. I just laughed. I couldn't... I ain't had nothing for him, man. I ain't had nothing for him. Because, for one... For the longest, like, I didn't even know that that's what so she's throwing this little symbol up, and it looks like the A-OK sign. I know a lot of Kappas use this as their hand signal and whatever else. A lot of racists have adopted this as a white power symbol now, right? So, she's throwing it, I'm not even paying that much attention, but it seemed as though, like, for one, I was like, I'm annoyed because I'm tired, right? I just worked hard all day, I'm hungry, I just want to get my food, go home, wash my ass, sit down, eat my food, watch a little bit of TV before I had to get into bed and do this shit all over again in the morning. And this is what you contribute to the fucking society, is putting your little symbol out of the car window, out of the truck window, and telling some black dude that you don't know to go back to his neighborhood or whatever else, man. I really didn't have anything for him, because I was just like, I was more annoyed than anything else, man. Like, man, this dumb shit, man. I ain't had nothing for him. I was more so annoyed than anything else. I just thought it was funny, and I just kind of laughed, right? But then the other thing that I was thinking about was, like, what is it exactly with the racist and Ford F-150s, man? Like what is the relation? What was the correlation? You know what I'm saying? Like, because typically, like, you'll see this a lot. Like, if you watch anything, like, on, like, Vice News or some shit like that, or if you watch, like, a documentary about races and shit, man, these motherfuckers stay with a Ford F-150 with, like, the American flag or, like, a Confederate flag, you know, waving in the back of that bitch. Or they might have, like, one of those thin blue line, like, decals and shit on, like, the back window or whatever else. You know what I'm saying? Like, every time I see those, I'm like, fuck you. You know what I'm saying? But, like, it's something about that, the way that they... like, who they associate themselves with now. Like, every time I see that shit, I just see red. But, like, you'll see that, or you'll see, like, they'll have, like, a Punisher emblem on it, but it's, like, the police with a Punisher emblem on it, and they don't know that, like, the Punisher don't even fuck with the police like that. It's, like, that whole little thing, man. It's, like, all these little connections that they all are just, like, intertwined or whatever else. And I'm just like, man, what is it with, like, you know, racists in the Ford F-150? Like, although I do know that, like, you know, Henry Ford was a racist son, you know, racist sack of shit. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if it's rooted in that or what, but yo, man, I be thinking about that, man. The other part about that is that, like, you know, it's part of the reason why I don't really want, like, a pickup truck or, like, a Ford F-150 in particular. You know, I know it's, like, the number one selling pickup truck in America or whatever else. They always advertising that shit. I mean, I like Silverado, not this particular Silverado, because I think the grill is ugly, but, like, I just wouldn't fuck with a Ford F-150. And then the other part about that is, like, when you get, like, a pickup truck and shit, you know, my wife has been, like, you know, toying with the idea, like, she wants a pickup or whatever. And I'm just like, eh, I don't know about that, you know? Because when you get a pickup truck, everybody thinks you're going to help them move. And I'm just like, nah, nigga, I ain't doing that. Like, I'm tired. I ain't picking up shit. I pick up enough shit when I'm at work, bro. Even when I move, I'm not picking up shit, nigga. Like, we got movers, bro. Like, hey, man, could you pick that up and... take that over there. Like, that's I'll be tired, man. I'll be tired. I pick up enough heavy shit when I'm at work. So no, I ain't got it for you. So that's one of my random thoughts, man. Another random thought that I had this week, man. So a lot of you have been, like, passing around videos and stuff on Facebook Messenger or whatever else. And this is another reason why I know, like, niggas don't be listening to your man Span the way they wish they should. They really don't. Because I said this weeks ago, like, if you send me a video on, like, Facebook Messenger, I'm not watching that shit. But apparently, like, I keep getting videos. I keep getting people sending me videos on Facebook Messenger, right? I'm going to tell you something else, though. Like, not even just on the, like, if you send me a video on Facebook Messenger, I'm not watching it. But if you send me a Facebook video, like, a video on Facebook Messenger, and the caption to that shit is, man, you need to watch this before they take this down. Nigga, I am not watching that. I'm not watching that shit. Chances are it's some bullshit that probably needs to be taken down any goddamn way, right? So, like, a couple people sent me this video, and it just happened that, like, what's this dude name? Judge Joe Brown. had Judge Joe Brown on there, and Judge Joe Brown was like trying to like connect the dots between Barack Obama and like George W. Bush, and they familiar relationships and all this other shit. I'm just like, man, it's Judge Joe Brown though, bro. Are we really listening to Judge Joe Brown? Special Hotep Unit Judge Joe Brown. Judge Joe Brown that got kicked off his own court show, Judge Joe Brown. I had to fucking, like, it wasn't a pleasurable experience, but I had, I met Judge Joe Brown when I was in college and shit. This is, like, my freshman year at Tennessee State. And, he had this thing where he was, like, kind of speaking to, like, the freshman class or whatever. And it was just like, this dude was on something even then. He was on something even then, bro. Like, I checked out on Judge Joe Brown at 19 years old. Like, I ain't trying to hear shit Judge Joe Brown got to say about nothing. Man, don't send me no video of motherfucking Judge Joe Brown trying to talk about nothing. He ain't. Stop doing that. If you got a video that says you need to watch this before they take it down, trust and believe I ain't watching it. It's almost like that damn like the chain messages and shit. Like when somebody send you a chain, hey man, keep this going. Like, nah, it stopped with your boy. Like, if it didn't keep going, it was me. It was me. You know, it's almost like those memes and shit where they ask you, you know, would you slap your brother for like $150 billion? Like, man, if you ask me, would I slap anybody? The answer is probably just like, yep. Before you even tell me the money, the monetary amount, you're like, would you slap your brother for a dollar? Yep, I probably would. Don't take much, man. But if you're going to put $150 billion on it, yeah, the answer is more likely yes. Before you even finish asking me that question, yeah, it's probably, yeah, man, real talk. Another question or random thought that I had, man. So I'm at work a lot of times. I'm going into a lot of different people's houses and stuff. You get to see like a lot of different basement setups and stuff, right? Like I had a span cave, man, but a flood kind of took my span cave out. So like the basement is sort of just like we go down there to wash clothes or whatever. You know, it's a bit of storage. We try to be smart about the storage because we don't want our shit getting fucked up in another flood, right? But I'm going to some of these houses and you see some of these basement setups. And man, some of y'all got some real nice setups in there, man. Like, real talk, I'm envious of some of y'all setups, man. I see marble floors and shit. I've seen carpeting in some of y'all basements. Man, y'all some brave souls, especially some of y'all living in flood zones. But, you know, that's what it is. But I see the man caves and stuff, right? I be seeing, like, these elaborate fucking setups, man. I see, like, you know, the big screen TVs. And, like, not only do you got the PlayStation 4, but you got the Xbox One and you got a Nintendo Switch, man. And you got maybe, like, a Retron 5 or something. They got all your old school games and shit on it, right? And then I see, like, a pinball machine or like a video game cabinet. You know, you got like some old like classic game like Turtles in Time or some shit on there, right? And then you got like the setup where folks be having like the poker table and shit going on. You got the mini fridge that's stocked with all the different kinds of brews and shit. You got a bar down there, so you got all the whiskeys and the vodkas and all that shit. You got a nice little setup in there, B. Nice setup. As a matter of fact, if I wish I could like kick it at your house, right? But this is one thing that kind of bothers me when I go into some of these setups, man. It's one thing. Y'all need to take them damn yellow energy guide stickers off y'all TVs, bro. Real talk, man. Like, you got your man Span's permission. As a matter of fact, if anybody fucks with you about taking that energy guide sticker off the TV, tell them to come holler at your man Span, man. Because real talk, like, man, you done had this TV for 6 years, man. Are you planning on taking the TV back? Like, for real, man. Like, I don't know. Like, I could tell it's a 6-year-old TV because it got the thick-ass bezel where they could put the sticker on the front. Like, it's a bright yellow and black sticker. It draws attention to itself. You sitting up here trying to watch Avengers Endgame and shit, and it's like this bright fucking warning label on your TV and shit. Like, nah, man, take that shit off, man. Take it off. And like I said, if anybody gives you some shit about it, tell him your man Span told, you know, come holler at him. Real. Go ahead and do that, man. Real talk, man. Take that shit off of there. another random thought that I had, man. So y'all been ignoring the fuck out of these doctor's orders and shit, right? The doctor's orders been getting ignored like a motherfucker. All across the country, man, we've seen like COVID-19 cases spike. We've seen like you know, kids are being forced to go back to school. People are going back to work. All sorts of industry, like even with the sports, man. Like, you know, you got whole baseball teams and shit getting infected with the shit, and they ain't telling them like, nah, we not playing baseball no more. They're like, nah, just put them niggas on ice for a couple weeks, right? We gonna get this baseball in, right? But yo, man, y'all been ignoring all these doctors until Dr. like Demon Dick came around, right? So Dr. Demon Dick is this, I don't know the doctor's name. She was on a video that Donald Trump had like been retweeting and passing around. They've taken that video down off like Twitter, YouTube, Facebook. They got that shit the fuck up out of here. This is one of them videos and shit that y'all was trying to share to me on Facebook Messenger or whatever. But she's on here talking about, you know, they use hydroxychloroquine and she's been curing motherfuckers with the hydroxychloroquine. Like, yeah, all right, that's cool. That's all fine and good. But you was talking about demon sperm though. Like, so like, how seriously are we to take you? You know what I'm saying? And somebody told me this earlier, as a matter of fact, it was Anissa was like, yo man, we did tell these motherfuckers to listen to black women, and she is a black doctor, she is a black woman doctor, but yo man, it's just weird, man, how like y'all been ignoring all this fucking like medical advice, and then all it takes is somebody who like who just like confirms this conspiracy shit that y'all be on, and you like all in, you know what I'm saying? So yo, man, I was just thinking about that. But that was my random thoughts. But yo, it's time to get into the news, yo. All right, our first story in the news, man, is as we talk about COVID-19, Herman Cain, former presidential candidate of the Republican Party back in 2012, has just succumbed to COVID-19 after a month in the hospital. We get this story here. This comes out of BusinessInsider.com. It says the former Republican presidential candidate Herman Cain has died after being hospitalized with COVID-19. He was 74. Cain, who recently joined Newsmax TV and was set to launch a weekly show, died in an Atlanta area hospital where he had been critically ill for several weeks.
Sure. What time's the alarm?
I'm not even talking to you, Google. Stop it. died in Atlanta area hospital where he had been critically ill for several weeks. The conservative website Newsmax reported on Thursday he was admitted on July 1st, 2 days after being diagnosed with COVID-19. Cain's official website also announced the news in a blog post. Herman Cain, our boss, our friend, like a father to so many of us, has passed away, wrote Dan Calabrese, an editor for the website. Excuse me. He's entering the presence of the Savior. He served as an associate minister at Antioch Baptist Church in Atlanta for and preparing for his reward. It's unclear how Cain contracted COVID-19. He tested positive for the disease 11 days after attending a campaign rally for President Donald Trump in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Cain, who was an ardent Trump supporter, tweeted a photo of himself at the rally in which neither he nor those around him wore masks. 2 days after Cain announced he had tested positive for COVID-19, he expressed support for the Trump campaign's decision not to require a mask at an Independence Day celebration at Mount Rushmore. Masks will not be mandatory for the event, which will be attended by President Trump. People are fed up, Cain tweeted. The tweet was deleted after Cain's death. A tweet from Cain's account on Wednesday suggested that vaccine skepticism was justified because the U.S. government and the media had incinerated their credibility. The tweet linked to a post on Cain's website in which the columnist argued that there was no way of knowing the truth about whether a coronavirus vaccine would be safe. Cain's Twitter account posted multiple updates about his condition after he was hospitalized. A tweet on July 5th said he was making progress. A tweet 2 days later said doctors were trying to make sure his oxygen levels were right. Tweets on Monday said that while Cain was still being given oxygen, his other organs and systems are stronger and he is really getting better. So I'm going to just say this right now, man. This is totally motherfucking avoidable. Totally motherfucking avoidable. At a certain point, I know, like, you know, like, at a certain point, it's as if this particular administration, those who are sycophants or those who are followers of this administration, are pledging themselves to a death cult, right? Pledging themselves to a death cult. Herman Cain was 74 years old, took his ass to a political rally in Tulsa, Oklahoma, basically like daring COVID-19 to kind of come in there and fuck with him, right? Meanwhile, COVID-19 is just, it don't care. It don't care about nothing. It don't care about your political affiliation. It don't care whether or not you believe in masks or not. It don't care whether or not you believe in a vaccine or not. He could have completely avoided all of this had he not stayed so true to the talking points of this Trump administration, who's really just trying to downplay what this virus has done and how it's affected like so many Americans throughout the country. And so for like this dude to be dead, like I was at work when I saw this and I was like 6 hours late because I was busy as shit. But like, yo, there's no reason for this guy to be dead. There's no reason for us to be talking about Herman Cain in the past tense. Right. As much as I disagree with this dude's politics, as much as I disagree with, you know, how he wrote, like that guy should still be alive right now. And he isn't. Because he was following up behind a dude who probably really did. Like, if we're being honest, Donald Trump doesn't give a fuck about nobody else other than himself, other than what's going to help him politically. Think about this. Everyone who attended that damn Trump rally in Tulsa, Oklahoma, had to fill out a waiver to attend, to not hold the Trump administration, not hold the Trump reelection campaign, not hold any of them responsible if they were to catch COVID-19 or if they were to like get sick and die from the shit. Like nobody can come after Trump for it because they decided that they were going to waive it so they can be in the presence of this dude. And it's weird because like folks have like kind of like I've been seeing this on Twitter, like, well, are Republicans going to like, you know, kind of temper their talk about, you know, COVID-19 and everything else because of, you know, Herman Cain's death? It's like, no, they're not going to do that. Herman Cain's black. They don't give a fuck about black people. They'll use black people in order to like, you know, promote a certain narrative, but they don't give a fuck about black people. It's why they only pick the black people that black people don't respect. It's weird. Like the Republican Party, the Trump campaign in particular, they pick out the black people that most black people don't even fuck with to give you the black perspective. And meanwhile, most black people don't fuck with them. Black people don't fuck with Brandon Tatum. Black people don't fuck with Candace Owens. Black people don't fuck with Alveda King. Black people don't fuck with Diamond and Silk. We don't fuck with them. We don't even like, man, what's wrong with these fools? Right? And so for Herman Cain to be dead behind trying to keep up the party line is insane. It's in fucking sane, man. That guy is dead because he wanted to, like, you know, keep up the party line, man. It's crazy. And I know, you know, we really can't for certain. What's the other part about this? You can't say for certain that it was because he was at the Trump rally that he obtained COVID-19 or he obtained the coronavirus and he got sick. But think about this, man. Like, the possibility is still there. The possibility is open that it happened because there were so many people there. And we know that gatherings of 100 people or more, 50 people or more, like, and not caring and not wearing a mask and not social distancing can, you know, contribute to you being infected with this disease. So it's wild. It's mad fucking insane that Herman Cain is dead because because of that party line, man. And it was perfectly avoidable, man. But yo, that's in the news, man. Herman Cain dead at 74, yo. Another story that we got here in the news. So there have been a rash of police shootings here in the Detroit area. Police shootings that have resulted in people dying. And there's an activist group here in the city called Detroit Will Breathe. And they have called all of the Detroit police shootings against, you know, people or against suspects. How should we say this? Unwarranted, right? They believe all of these shootings are unwarranted. Let's just go to the video. I'm gonna pull this video up so you guys can watch along with your man Span. Let me go ahead and do that so y'all can see what I'm talking about here. But let's see what they got going on.
The news at this hour, activist group Detroit Will Breathe is calling for Chief Craig to resign tonight in the wake of a number of officer-related shootings over the past few weeks.
The leader of the group, Tristan Taylor, says he thinks none of the shootings were justified, including the incident where one man shot at an officer at point-blank range. Defender Sean Lay talked with Taylor today, and Sean, how does this narrative match what we've seen on the tapes?
Kimberly, let's get right to it. The statement made today by the protest group does not match up with the video put out by Detroit police. Watch. We're going to play their explosive statement for you right now.
In two of the cases, the victims shot by the police were on the ground when they were shot. In the last case, police have released no details.
The protest group Detroit Will Breathe making that explosive statement today.
You would agree police have a responsibility to get the facts out? Doesn't your movement have the responsibility to be as accurate as possible with the facts?
Absolutely.
Two deadly officer-involved shootings. Hakeem Littleton shot and killed July 10th. Last week, police say a suspect wanted for shooting four people pointed a gun at them. Video showing both men were not on the ground when police first shot.
It says in two of the cases, the victims shot by police were on the ground when they were shot. Isn't that irresponsible to say that?
I don't think so.
The shorter question would be, you're telling the community police are out here executing these guys.
Well, I don't know what else you'd call at point blank. I mean, especially for Hakeem Littleton. That's the thing that we find most disturbing about his shooting was the fact that the last shot was point blank to the head.
Detroit Police Chief James Craig saying the department gets video out of the shootings as fast as possible so the public can see what happened for themselves.
It's always the vocal minority that will critique, criticize, and find fault.
I just reread your statement. It's not accurate.
Lead protester Tristan Taylor says he wants to see more video.
To your point, I do apologize if the statement isn't clear.
This is not rocket science. There's something wrong when every time there is an issue, it ends in violence. I think that's what Tristan, the message he's trying to say.
Back here live, the group out protesting right now at the 9th Precinct. The chief made it clear yesterday. He says his officers are on high alert, partly because of anti-police rhetoric here and around the country. Plus, they're taking hundreds of guns off the streets right now. Kimberly.
All right. So, here's the thing. We got to be smarter than this, man. Got to be smarter than this. So, facts matter in all of these cases. The moment you start being extra with the details, when you start exaggerating what happened in these situations, you start to lose credibility, and the people that you need to listen to you will stop listening to you. They will stop following behind you. They will stop taking heed to what it is that you're saying. The facts matter in all of these cases. And so, as you guys know, if you've been following the Span Report or if you've been following like me on social media for any length of time, man, like, I'm not the biggest fan of the fucking police, but those situations where those videos came out and you can clearly see, yo, my man had he opened up on the police as soon as they rolled up. Another guy, as they're in pursuit of him, he's opening up on the police as they're in pursuit of him. The idea that, like, there's no justification for someone to protect themselves. Like, even a police officer has a right to protect themselves, much like I have a right to protect myself in a situation where I think my life might be in danger. To therefore go and contradict what the video evidence is showing us, to say that these guys were shot while they were on the ground, or like these guys were like there was even an additional news coverage of this where they talked about like, yeah, the police should have just let these guys go and like tried to, you know, apprehend them another day. It's like, what? Like, as much of a Black Lives Matter advocate as I am, as much as I kind of advocate for those who are activists who are putting their bodies and their lives on the line, like a lot of times, like going out there, getting arrested, agitating, putting the pressure on those in authority to do the right thing. Like, I'm a big proponent of that. But I also think we should have the correct message while we're doing it. And like, exaggerating things to get people worked up, exaggerating or massaging the facts to somehow like perpetuate a narrative that isn't true isn't fucking helpful. It's not helpful. And so, like, as much as like I respect the work of a lot of the activists, and I'm not one of these people who ain't, you know, out there like, you know, doing the work and having a shit ton of shit to say about these folks. Cause I go in on those folks all the time. Like, man, you ain't doing a goddamn thing. And you standing over here criticizing all this shit, these people who are doing this on your behalf. But this right here, dog, like, we can't do this, man. Like, this ain't it. This ain't what you should be doing. Like, you don't have, like, they're like, and it puts me in a position where I'm standing here on my show defending the police when I'm like, that ain't even what I do. You know what I'm saying? That's not what I do. But we got to be smarter than this, man. We can't be out here, you know, being so engrossed in an idea, so engrossed in an idea that we lose all reason, right? We can't do that. We got to be smarter about how we move, how we progress as a movement, how and the people with whom we put forth as our spokespeople, right? Like, the idea that like you can just go out here and straight up lie and people can't call you on the lie. Like, this is the same shit Donald Trump does, and we talk cash shit about him all the time. Don't do the same shit, man. Don't do the same shit. So, yeah, man, that's not smart. And we got to get away from that. And that's in the news. Another story that we got here in the news is so apparently, the $600 extra unemployment funds that have been going out, I believe those are supposed to be ending today. But and we've heard a lot of different stories, man. Like, I told you guys about going to the car wash, trying to get my car washed and detailed and everything. And the guy who owned the shop was talking about how he couldn't get his workers to come back to work because they're making more money on unemployment and they much rather live off the government, yada, yada, yada. Right. But there was a study done by Yale University, and they said that the $600 extra dollars in unemployment benefits actually did not lead to people working less.
Well, that'll be a monkey's bare-assed uncle.
So we get this story here. This also comes out of BusinessInsider.com. It says a report by economists at Yale University did not find any evidence that the $600 weekly jobless benefits authorized by Congress in March in response to the COVID-19 outbreak reduced employment in the U.S. The findings suggested that the expanded benefits neither encouraged layoffs during the pandemic's onset nor deterred people from returning to work once businesses began reopening. Workers facing larger expansions in unemployment insurance benefits have returned to their previous jobs over time at similar rates as others, the economist said. We find no evidence that more generous benefits disincentivize work either at the onset of the expansion or as firms look to return to business over time. In future research, it will be important to assess whether the same results hold when states move to reopen. The $600 per week unemployment benefits that millions of Americans have been receiving under the Coronavirus Aid, Relief, and Economy Security Act expire at the end of July. This comes as members of the Trump administration have been critical of these benefits to unemployed Americans, saying they discourage people from returning to work. So, basically, we can disassociate ourselves from this talking point that people didn't want to work because they were getting the extra $600, right? But even if that were true, I ain't mad at them, right? As we've talked about this on the show plenty of times, like if I was making more money on unemployment at home and I didn't run as much of a risk of catching COVID-19 while I was at home, as opposed to going to work and having to risk catching that shit, maybe possibly not being right, maybe possibly not ever coming back home. Yo, man, I'm gonna take that $600. I'm gonna take that extra money. I'm gonna sit my ass down, man. And so, to find out that like this wasn't exactly keeping people from going back to work is it kind of cuts into that talking point. Not only that, like, I didn't think that's how it worked any fucking way, right? Like, if your job was reopening and they called you back to work and you refused, as I understood it, they were cutting your unemployment benefits off any fucking way. Like, you couldn't just refuse to go back to work and just sit on the unemployment and like, no, nah, I didn't think that's how that worked any damn way. Be that as it may, that didn't stop those who already have a poor perspective on what it's like to be poor from making people mad at those who have less than they do, right? Because it's easy to shit on poor people, man. It's easy to do it. And one of the biggest tricks that a lot of like powerful people, a lot of rich people have like convinced a lot of middle class people, a lot of people who think they middle class people, like they've convinced them that like the people who you need to be mad at are these poor people, because these poor people don't want to work. They just want to mooch off of the system and all this other shit, right? And here you are, you working, you busting your ass, and here this person is, they getting food stamps and they eating steak and they eating lobster and this and on top of that, they getting an extra $600. This is what they do to get you upset at people who, even with the extra that they have, may still be taking home less than you do. And we fall for it. A lot of folks fall for this shit every fucking time, man. Every time, because everybody has to feel like they're better than somebody. That's what it is. Like, there's this innate need to like feel like you're better than somebody. And like, those people don't deserve that sex. $600, man. I go to work every motherfucking day. I ain't get no extra $600. Some bullshit. They ain't give me no hazard pay. Your beef is with your job. It ain't with them. Your beef is with the motherfuckers who got you at the job, not paying you extra. They making money, but you mad at those who are like at home, trying not to catch the COVID, getting a little extra. And the extra is not only, here's the other part. The extra is to keep the economy moving, because they still got to be able to go buy food. They still got to go be able to buy groceries and shit. You know, some of y'all are back to work. Guess who keeps you being able to work? Some of those same people that you shitting on with this extra $600. They come in and they're spending that money with that stove that keeps you working. Right? That innate, like that need to feel like you're better than somebody else at that moment. That's what a lot of those, especially like on the Republican side of the ticket, man. That's what a lot of them are. That's what they're banking on. You feeling like those people don't deserve what little bit extra that they got because you ain't getting none. And then it's like you pit these two people against each other. Meanwhile, these motherfuckers who got everything are sitting in the cut making mo. Jeff Bezos made $13 billion. Billion with a B. $13 billion in one fucking day. But you mad at the $600 that somebody down the street made. Man, please. Man, please. But yo, man, that's been the news. But y'all know what time it is.
What in blue blazes is going on out here?
Did this nigga just say blue blazes?
All right, our first story here in blue blazes is McDonald's workers. As we're talking about people who a lot of folks like to think that they're better than, McDonald's workers are reporting that a lot of them are being like assaulted and shit because they're enforcing the mask mandates across the damn country. Another Business Insider story. We read this. It says, as mask requirements become the norm during the coronavirus pandemic, companies are facing looming questions on how workers can safely enforce new policies. A Service Employees International Union survey of 4,187 McDonald's workers shared with Business Insider found that 44% of respondents said that they had been verbally or physically assaulted after confronting customers who weren't wearing masks. While the SEIU only surveyed a small proportion of the chain's more than 800,000 workers in the U.S., the 44% of respondents alone represent more than 1,800 employees who said they've been assaulted on the job. One McDonald's worker who was assaulted at work is Maria Resendez, who visited the hospital in late June after being grabbed and hit by an anti-mask customer through a drive-through window in Oakland, California. She told Business Insider, in Illinois, Maria Villasenor, recently filed a complaint with the Chicago Public Department of Health after seeing a McDonald's co-worker attacked by a customer she asked to wear a mask. Throughout the pandemic, McDonald's has failed to protect us from COVID-19. Now is asking us to police a culture war that's not in our job description, and we're not paid to do. So I know a couple weeks ago we were talking about this. I know here in Michigan, like Governor Whitmer made it a it's pretty much like she put down an executive order that if you were going to a public place that you had to wear a mask, or if you're going to the gas station, put your mask on. If you're going to Target or Walmart or anywhere else, put your mask on. And the thinking behind a lot of this is to, well, if this is mandated by the state, then it takes the burden, or it takes the pressure off of the these employees. It takes the pressure off of these companies to enforce this law, you know, to enforce these policies, because if it's, you know, people feel like, oh, I can go into the store and the store has its own policy. I could just, you know, adhere to the store's policy, but it's now state. It's a state thing. And so what we're finding out is there are people whom are buying into that same talking point, that same party line that that ended up in Herman Cain losing his life, are walking into a lot of these establishments in defiance of these mandates, these state mandates that you have to wear a mask in these places of business. And so these workers are like, yo, what the fuck does that mean for me, though? Because, I mean, yeah, I work here and all, but like, do I really want to scrap with this nigga over this job, man? Because he don't want to wear a mask, bro. Like, hey, man, like, all of us got to wear it. Like, just wear the fucking mask. But you got people who are, this is America, goddamn it. I don't have to wear a goddamn mask. This is tyranny. And damn it, this is against my civil liberties. And damn it, I should be able to walk into a goddamn Target and without a fucking mask. And these are the same people, right? Same people who applauded like all these businesses that were like, yo, we don't want to serve a certain type of folk, right? Like those bakeries and stuff that didn't want to like bake cakes and stuff for homosexual couples and everything for their marriages or whatever else. Or like Kim Davis down in what was it, Tennessee, I believe it was, Tennessee or Kentucky, I want to say Kentucky, but like she's denying these people despite the fact that she works for the state. So like, it's beyond her. She's hiding behind religion and everything else. But you got these people who are walking into these establishments who have the clear right to say like, hey man, we can serve whoever the fuck we want to. If you either do what the hell we ask you to do, or you can get the fuck out. And a lot of these people, because I guess now because of the state is making this a mandate, are saying, well, fuck the state then, goddammit. I'm a citizen. I can just vote her ass out. It's a goddamn executive order, man. It isn't law. The state legislature hasn't passed any fucking thing, man. I don't have to listen to this shit. Right? These attitudes are killing people. And then we've got, you know, McDonald's workers who are trying to enforce these, you know, these mandates. And they're being met with pushback. They're being cursed out. They're being physically assaulted. And they're not getting paid enough. And so this goes back to that whole thing I was just talking about where, you know, you got people. There's a class of folks who everyone seems to think that they're better than. And typically those tend to be fast food workers. Folks tend to have this belief that they're better than these fast food workers. So, yeah, how dare you, guy who flips burgers, tell me that I need to wear a fucking mask? I just want my burger. You don't get to tell me to wear a goddamn mask. Just give me my burger and shut the fuck up, guy who flips burgers. This is the attitude, right? Never mind the fact that that person who's flipping burgers is a person who's got to go home to a family, possibly person who may have a family who's dealing with health issues and can't afford to get sick, can't afford to take some shit home to their family, because your selfish ass, not only, you know, you want to come in there and get the 20 piece McNugget, but you don't even want to have the common decency to wear a fucking mask to order it, or stay in your fucking car and order the shit through the drive through, right? So you've got a class of folks who people don't even want to see make $15 an hour. Like, you think that they don't deserve this amount of money. But then you put upon them like all of these people who tend to think that they're better than the people who work there anyway. and are just going to be obnoxious, and so obnoxious to the point where they want to physically assault folks. Now, I'm going to tell you this right now, man. There are some people who work at McDonald's. There's some people who work everywhere. It ain't just at McDonald's or like fast food or whatever else. I'm going to tell you all this right now. For those of you who are like against wearing the whole mask thing and like you want to be that obnoxious motherfucker that walks through the door, you're going to run into the wrong person who's willing to give up that punk ass job to fuck you up. You are going to run into that person. Like, I think there's this sense of, like this weird sense of like security or some shit like that that some of y'all have. Some of y'all don't believe that like people are willing to lose their job over a lot of this shit. And truthfully speaking, some people ain't willing to lose their job. They got a whole lot of shit that they're responsible for. But then there are some who don't give a fuck about that job. They're only doing it because they need maybe a little extra money. Or they fed up with the job already. And you come in there, they gonna wear your ass out. And it's probably gonna get videotaped because people can't wait to see you get your ass worn the fuck out. So I would just tell y'all, man, like, be careful. Be careful with the people with whom you talk to crazily in these streets, man, because everybody ain't for your bullshit, man. And truthfully speaking, like, it's like polite society, man. Like, wear a mask to help other people not catch the shit. That's really what it is. Like, wear a mask to help other people not catch shit. If you don't have it, cool. Maybe you won't get it if you wore the mask. But it's like polite society. Be polite, man. Like, I don't get why that's like, this is the other part that's like so fucked up, man. Like, as much as America likes to tout itself as being like the number one country in the world, man, this ain't the shit to be number one for. It just ain't, man. Like, this is the dumbest shit to be number one for. Like, think about this. Nobody wants you, like, nobody is allowing America, really. There's, like, very few countries in the world right now that are allowing Americans to, like, travel freely and shit. They're like, nah, you from where? The ghetto. When you say you from America, right? America's, like, have this reputation of being, like, some smug motherfuckers when they go around the world. No longer, man. You can't afford to be smug. Like, y'all some dumb motherfuckers over there. Real talk, man. Well, that's them Blue Blazes, man. Another story that we got here in Blue Blazes is, hey, man, people keep, like, taking advantage of this damn payroll protection plan shit. So, a Florida man scammed the payroll protection plan for to the tune of about $3.9 million.
Oh, ho, brother, ho, whoa, now. You got too much dip on your chip.
We read this story here. This comes out of YahooNews.com. It says a Florida man has been charged with fraud and other criminal offenses after receiving $3.9 million in COVID-19 relief funds and using the money to purchase, among other things, a Lamborghini. David Hines, 29, was arrested on Friday and charged on Monday, according to a statement by the Department of Justice. Okay. He said over $3 million has been seized from his bank accounts along with the sports vehicle. Authorities allege that Hines fraudulently applied for about $13.5 million in Paycheck Protection Program loans for a few companies. PPP, part of the Coronavirus Aid Relief and Economy Securities Act, was enacted on March 29th to provide small businesses with forgivable loans. Any money given to a company on behalf of the program is supposed to be used for rent or mortgage costs, employee salaries, and utilities. According to the DOJ statement, Hines lied on the loan application and made inaccurate statements about the expenses of the companies, including the amount paid to employees. Those purported employees either did not exist or earned a fraction of what Hines claimed in his PPP applications. U.S. Postal Inspector Brian Masmella says in an affidavit, according to the Miami Herald, collectively, Hines falsely claimed his companies paid millions of dollars in payroll in the first quarter of 2020. State and bank records, however, show little to no payroll expense during this period. Hines was approved for funding and received $3.9 million. Just a few days after getting the money, he bought the Lamborghini for $318,000. He is also alleged to have purchased luxury items from stores and resorts. In the past few weeks, Florida has become one of the hotspots for U.S. COVID-19 cases and recently passed New York for having the second most confirmed cases in the country, behind California. So, um, So I kind of wonder how long they've been watching my man, right? Or better yet, like, how soon he was able to, like, get these funds, and whether or not he had been watching other motherfuckers get caught up, you know what I'm saying, and still decide to do it anyway, because everybody feel like they ain't gonna get caught, right? Everybody feel like they ain't gonna get caught. What's my man name? The dude that was, like, with Carly Red on Love & Hip Hop Atlanta. Whatever his name was like Arkansas Mo or some shit like that. It might have been his name. But, like, he was out here doing that same shit. Hey, man, for one, it's sad that the people who really do need that money, the people who really do could benefit from that relief effort are being denied those funds because of assholes like this here. But also, you got to be a stupid motherfucker if you think the government ain't going to find you, man. You got to be, like, if anybody going to get their money, the government going to get their money, man. Trust and believe, man. Like, student loans, income taxes. Like, if they don't get their money, you going to give them some time. They going to get it out your ass. They going to get it out your damn, or they going to get it out your age or something. Ass and age, man. That's what they going to get. Time and ass. That's all they, like, that's. But that's in Blue Blazers, man. Stop scamming, man. For real, stop scamming. Another story here in Blue Blazers, though. Terry Crews is back to some of his shenanigans, man. As a matter of fact, Terry Crews was Terry Crews decided he was gonna go on Twitter and make an acronym for the word coon.
Negro, please.
He did, man. He did. So we get this story here out of thegrio.com. It says, Terry Crews sure knows how to become a trending topic. After weeks of making headlines for his comments about Black Lives Matter and racism in America, the actor has yet again ruffled feathers online for tweeting about race. Crews 51 tweeted on Tuesday that what appeared to be an acronym for coon. The America's Got Talent host used the four letters that spelled out the racist slur to say, conquer our own negativity. Twitter users quickly picked up on Crews' apparent attempt to spin a word he's been called on the internet after criticizing the Black Lives Matter movement and later challenging the black community to focus more on black-on-black crime than police brutality. Now, remember what I said a few weeks ago, right? I said, like, Terry Crews seems like the kind of guy to never, like, who can't handle folks talking crazy about him on Twitter. Like, he can't let that shit go. Despite the fact that many of these people don't mean a damn thing to him, he elevates that, like, that level of criticism. Can't let the shit go. But also, bruh, what are you doing, man? What are you doing? Somebody wrote it and said, Terry Crews just made an acronym for coon, tweeted rapper Bobby Sessions, put 2020 in rice. We the black delegation trade Terry Crews to the southernmost continent of Antarctica for one penguin, another Twitter user joked. One Twitter user expressed their offense to Crews' use of slur writing, sir, have you looked up the acronym of your message, thought, movement? I love your work and family values, but do not agree with you on some of your stances. But this acronym is not you. It's an outdated term used to tear each other down. Crews responded, I agree. The word is horrible, but I've learned to catch the lemons thrown at you. Make lemonade, then make lemon bars. Make a lemon-scented hand sanitizer. Sell the rinds in the spice aisle and barbecue lemon pepper wings. Then take the seeds and grow more lemon trees. I'm going to just say this right now.
Someone get this jigaboo away from me.
I'm just saying. Like, dude, let it go. Let it go, man. Like, this idea, like, that, especially the whole black-on-black crime bit. Like, we've broken that down here on the Spin Report podcast way too many times to count. Like, the idea that, I get it. So, there comes a time where some people come into some information at a later time than others. And so you may have to give them room to figure out where this new information, how it fits into the grand scheme of things, right? The problem with Terry Crews and those like Terry Crews is like, yo, man, you 51 years old, bruh. And you're on Twitter, you're on social media a lot. So it's not as if you don't have access to the conversations. You're a man of I mean, you've got like some notoriety. I mean, dude, you host a fucking nationally televised, you know, talent show on like one of the big three, big four networks in America. You've been in movies and television shows. Like you got some level of notoriety, some level of like people know who you are. You can get access to some people who could steer you in the right direction. Do you want that information, though? Do you want to be educated on these topics? Because truthfully speaking, what tends to happen with a lot of this stuff is like they'll repeat these old, tired, racist talking points thinking that they own some new shit. Right? They think that they saying something deep. Everybody I know who talks about that, like, but what about black on black crime? Every last one of them niggas think they being deep right at that moment. Every last one of them. I have not met one who don't think they being deep at the moment, who think they telling you some shit. Right? So, yeah, man, Terry Crews, he gets called a coon on Twitter, man. And this is the other part about it. So, I don't follow Terry Crews. Every now and again, some of the stuff he tweets comes down my Twitter timeline. But every time he says something dumb like this, there's a gang of white folks in those mentions championing him on. And all the black folks are like, man, what the fuck are you doing? At a certain point, you just got to kind of recognize like, yo, man, that might be the attention that he wants. Right? That might be what he wants. And maybe we should just leave that motherfucker alone and leave him to the dumb shit that he's over there doing, right? But yo, man, that's been Blue Blazes.
What in Blue Blazes is going on out here?
Did this nigga just say Blue Blazes?
But this has become a staple. You about to lose your job. Get this down. You about to lose your job. Get this down. You about to lose your job. Get this down. You about to lose your job. Get this down. You about to lose your job. All right. It's Lose Your Job time here at the Spirit Report Podcast, man. And our first story here in Lose Your Job is an ABC News executive by the name of Barbara Fedida. Now, Barbara Fedida is like she was powerful. She ain't necessarily powerful no more because they done got her to fuck up out the paint. We can read this story here. This comes out of news1.com. It says a powerful network news executive has suddenly found herself powerless and out of a job because of racist comments she made in the workplace to and about her black colleagues. It was the latest in a recent series of racially motivated shakeups in the media world following a nationwide protest against racism. The Los Angeles Times reported that Barbara Fedida, who served as the business affairs chief for ABC News, was fired on Monday, in part because of what she said about Robin Roberts of Good Morning America. But Fedida also targeted at least two other black women who were also on-air talents using racist terms and allegations that were first brought to light in a report by the Washington Post last month. The Walt Disney Company, which owns ABC News, announced Fedida's firing in an email to the company on Monday. The investigation substantiated that Ms. Fedida did make some of the unacceptable racially insensitive comments attributed to her, Walt Disney Television Chairman Peter Rice wrote in part. It also substantiated that Ms. Fedida managed in a rough manner and on occasion used crass and inappropriate language. Rice's email was too kind. One of those racially insensitive comments, a line about picking cotton, a racist reference to black people, if there ever was one, while negotiating a contract renewal with Roberts, a respected anchor who has worked for Walt Disney Company for more than 30 years. Fedida reportedly felt Roberts was getting too greedy in her request. Fedida then asked what more Roberts could want and said it wasn't as if the network was asking Roberts to pick cotton. The Huffington Post quotes a source saying that she said, but wait, there's more. Fedida also allegedly used the term low rent to describe Sonny Hostin, a black co-host on The View. The LA Times reported in discussing the value of the network to a former black correspondent, Kendis Gibson. She allegedly said ABC News would spend more money on toilet paper. The media industry has been vigilant about trying to rid its ranks of the type of systemic racism that has been exposed by ensuring protests following by ensuing protests following the police killing of George Floyd in Minneapolis on Memorial Day. Vulture listed at least 13 news organizations, including Complex and OK Player, that said they were reckoning with the abuse of power. This is America. So I'm going to just say this right now. The block is hot. This is the time, if you ever had a gripe, and this is the time to get those gripes and put those motherfuckers out on the table right now. Because you got the ear of those who are in the position to do something, who are feeling the pressure of society right now because of the actions of activists and those who are bringing light and bringing voice to all of the mistrust and misjustice or the injustices that are happening. Like, they feel that pressure. They feel that pressure socially. They feel that pressure financially. And so when you have someone like this out here operating with impunity, they're going to stick out like a sore thumb. And because of the nature of how these protests have moved and, like, you know, the, like, we getting every fucking thing we want right now. Even some of the shit that we never asked for, some of that stuff we getting at this particular moment in time. So I'm going to say this right now. Cash your motherfucking ticket. Right now is the time to cash your ticket. We don't know how long this is going to last. You know what I'm saying? Like, we don't really talk as much about George Floyd as we did a couple months ago. I know the NBA is doing doing a lot to like kind of keep the focus on the movement, like the WNBA doing a lot to try to keep their focus on the movement. You got people on Twitter that are talking about, arresting the killers of Breonna Taylor. Like, but it still, even now, doesn't have the same fervor that it had maybe a month and a half ago. Right. And so, she's been operating like this for years. It was this moment. This moment that like got her up out of the paint. She could have, if George Floyd had never been killed, she probably still is the network exec at ABC News, because the pressure isn't there to get these kind of people up out of the paint. That just is what it is, man. It is what it is. And so, she lost her job for being racist, but she's not the only one who lost her job for being racist, because there was a teacher in Idaho who also lost her job for being racist. As a matter of fact, she was being racist and sexist at the same goddamn time.
Well, that'll be a monkey's bare-assed uncle.
So we read this story here. This comes out of news.com.au. So this is actually maybe an Australian outlet. It says Rita Soltis was employed at Idaho Fine Arts Academy and Eagle Middle School, came under fire after parents and school officials spotted her July 18 Facebook post. It referenced Mayor Lauren McClain's recent criticism of white supremacists who attended a Black Lives Matter protest in the state capital, Boise, and attacked some attendees. Her white supremacist hater ass needs to get laid by BLM members, Ms. Soltis post read. Should be a group activity and make it go viral. I'm still deciding if they should wear masks during the activity, Ms. Soltis wrote. Her comments were in response to an article about the incident and a petition to recall the mayor over her comments. Shocked social media users took screenshots of the post, which were then shared on the school's public Facebook page. Rita Soltis, let's see what everyone thinks of you. Idaho Fine Arts Academy, this is how you let your employees represent. So, I'm going to just say this now. Some of these people can't help themselves. It's apparently, it is clear that they cannot help themselves. As we talk about this being a time where the block is hot and like people, like racist folks being put up out of the paint for like some of the crass and crazy shit that they say on social media. In this time, she thought that was okay to say, right? Like, she thought that was okay to say. Also, why are you defending like white supremacists again? Like, as a teacher, like, this is what you're doing. Like, I don't know what the black population is in the school district that she works in Idaho. She probably doesn't really see a whole lot of black students at all. But if there was one black student who had to be a part of that class, like, God protect that kid, right? So you thought that was going to be okay. But the other part about that is this, right? Because this kind of leads into something that I was talking about last time I was on the mic, because I took last week off, you know, just kind of recharge the batteries or whatever. But as I talked about, like, disassociating ourselves from like certain believing that certain marginalized groups don't have the power to be a certain way. So last week I was kind of talking about black people can be racist. I said that women can be misogynistic, that homosexuals can be homophobic. Right. Like those you can be a part of those groups and also exhibit those behaviors. And I met a little bit of a pushback. As a matter of fact, I got an email about that. Let me read this. Hold on, because I almost damn it, I forgot about it, as a matter of fact. Well, let me read this email that I got about this, because this actually ties into that. So, hold on just a second, you guys. Let me pull this up. All right. So, oh shit, where does it go? Here it is. It said, Mr. Span, you were describing what you were describing was self-hate, not racism, in reference to whether or not black people can be racist. People much smarter than you have studied this ad nauseum, and they've come to this conclusion as well. Are you going to follow your own advice and listen to the experts on this, or are you going to be a hypocrite about it? Just wondering. And this person signed it off, Mel 15. So, here's an example of a woman being misogynistic. Here's an example of a woman actually promoting a sexist talking point that, like, she must need to get laid and everything else, right? But in the last episode, when I was talking about that, it's like, yo, I also gave you examples of black people in positions of power meting out, you know, using that power to discriminate against someone solely because of either race or sex or whatever else. So although you may, although there are experts or people who study this for a lot longer than your man Span, I am totally one of those people who tell you, like, yeah, man, listen to the people who know better. At this particular juncture, I'm just like, yo, man, but at the same time, yo, two things can be true at the same time, right? And, yo, I do believe that black people can be racist. I do believe that women can be misogynistic and promote misogynistic ideals. I do believe that homosexuals can be homophobic and promote homophobic ideals. And truthfully speaking, a lot of times, people who are in positions of power, people who are in positions of privilege, they'll use those very same people to promote that shit, right? How many times have you heard a dude say some shit that was misogynistic, and when he's called on it, say, well, my homegirl don't think what I said was misogynistic at all, right? He'll use that woman as a cover because she agrees with the shit that he's talking about. He'll use that woman as cover to keep him from being criticized about it. Well, your criticism is no longer valid because here's this woman who agrees with me. White people do that same shit. How many times have you heard a white person say something that was stupid or racist or whatever else, and the first thing they did was, well, I got a black friend, right? And they believe that black friend is going to give them cover on the racist shit that they just said. It doesn't make what they did any less racist, misogynistic, or homophobic, or sexist, or whatever else. So this woman, while going after the mayor for being mad at the mayor, for going after white supremacists, does so in a sexist way, and is not supposed to be sexist because she's a woman. No, man, it's still sexist. It's still misogynistic to say. So yeah, man, like, I mean, you can feel how you feel, and I thank you for writing or whatever, but yo, it kind of ties in exactly this. It doesn't mean that, like, these people can't be racist, sexist. What, you can be a part of a marginalized group. This woman she's a woman, so she's a part of a marginalized group. That did not stop her from doing what she did, and the results are still the same. And she lost her job because of it. Right? So yeah, man. That is that has been Lose Your Job. All right, but y'all know what time it is. That I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. All right, that's enough of that shit. It's Proud to Be an American time here at the Span Report Podcast, man. And our first story here in Proud to Be an American is, so in Florida, COVID-19 is, like, you know, is pretty big. It's pretty big. We've already read about how they've already surpassed New York to having the second most coronavirus cases in the country. Well, in Florida, child hospitalizations of COVID-19 patients have surged 23%, and the state is still talking about reopening schools.
Oh, brother, whoa, 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 whoa. Now, You got too much dip on your chip.
So we read this story here. This comes out of CNN.com. It says, just weeks before schools must open across Florida, the numbers of new cases and hospitalizations due to COVID-19 has surged. On July 16th, the state had a total of 23,170 children ages 17 and under who had tested positive since the beginning of the pandemic, according to the Florida Department of Health. By July 24th, that number had jumped to 31,150. That's a 34% increase in new cases among children in 8 days. More children in Florida are requiring hospitalization. As of July 16th, 246 children had been hospitalized with coronavirus. By July 24th, that number had jumped to 303. That's a 23% increase in child COVID-19 hospitalization in 8 days. During the same time period, the death toll among children in Florida went from 4 to 5. On July 18th, Kimora Kimmy-Lynham died from COVID-19 complications. According to the state health department records, the 9-year-old girl's family said Kimmy had no known pre-existing conditions. The surge in child COVID-19 cases and hospitalizations come amid rampant debate over whether children should return to classrooms this fall or if they should continue remote learning. I'm going to tell you this right now. No kid should be going back to school. No kid should be going back to school. Dead ass. That's it. That's it. So, at the beginning of this, you know, people were talking about how this particular virus wasn't necessarily affecting kids as bad as it was affecting older adults, mostly senior citizens. They were talking about how it's like the kids aren't being affected in much the same way. But we also, rightly speaking, tried to protect the kids from ever catching it to begin with, which is part of the reason why, I mean, it's the sole reason why schools closed to begin with, to protect these kids from catching COVID-19. But the idea that we would send these kids back to school with this virus not under control, no vaccine in place, have not put in the work that other countries have had while they open their schools back up. The idea that we would basically put our kids out there because we want to will normalcy, like we want to will everything back to normal, is foolhardy. And I know this country has shown that it's willing to sacrifice its children to a certain degree. And I say this as someone who owns firearms, right? When I saw like the whole Sandy Hook thing, when no meaningful gun legislation came down after Sandy Hook, when all those kids, kindergartners, first graders and everything were gunned down. That lets you know right then and there that America didn't have the will politically or like even morally to protect his children. And so it surprises many of us, but I kind of think that it shouldn't surprise us that so many of those same people who didn't want to put forth any like meaningful gun legislation to kind of curb that sort of thing that happened in Sandy Hook from happening again would also be the same people to tell you that, yo, your kid need to be in school come August and September, despite the fact that we haven't put in the work to properly combat COVID-19 and coronavirus. Right? So think about this for a second. Many of the people who are telling you that your children need to go back into these buildings to learn aren't sending their kids into these buildings to go learn. Many of them are well off enough or are privileged enough to where they got access to multiple computers and high speed internet, and you know those kids can learn from home. Like they'll just be doing school from the house. But the people that may be forced to send their kids to school are people who maybe don't have a computer in the home at all, and the only internet that they may have might be the data connection on their cell phone. They don't have a home internet, you know, hookup or whatever. And they've got to send their kids back to that school. And the reason why they got to send the kids back to that school is because they got to go work. Because they've opened up the economy again. So now you got to go work. So who's going to watch your babies? And so now you send these kids out to the school, you warehouse them in this petri dish as a school. And I mean, many of us, if you like watching this show, I'm pretty sure y'all know kids. Kids don't, you know, they're not going to take this shit seriously. They're like, they're going to give everybody the cootie touch, right? I mean, the COVID touch. Remember you said like the fart touch and shit when we was kids? Now they're going to be playing like the cootie touch or the COVID touch. Coronavirus touch. You got coronavirus, right? They'll play this shit as a game. Kids still out here doing like, you know, becoming spitball, like spit brothers, blood brothers and shit, like cutting their little hand and like shaking hands and shit. Doing dumb shit like that, man. So you're going to send these kids back to these petri dishes that we call schools and hope that there's nothing, you know, that nothing happens. But ultimately, some of these kids are going to get sick. And ultimately, some of these kids are going to die. And truthfully, what you're telling us is that like these kids are expendable by and large, by allowing this to go on. Florida being a hot spot in the country right now, I'm amazed at like, you know, like Florida was where they decided they were going to like do the NBA restart and shit. Like, of all places, that's where y'all went? Of all the places, Florida? Right? I get like, you got Disney World there and shit. But I mean, I guess couldn't go to California because, you know, California is a hot spot too. It's hot all over the fucking place, B. So, yeah, man. Florida is like, you know, still like kind of pushing this along to like force these kids to go back to school, despite the fact that like, yo, we got babies dying and more of these kids are being exposed to this virus. More and more kids are being hospitalized for this virus. And yet we still trying to push on as if everything is going to be okay. So long as we just going to have to sacrifice somebody, sacrifice these kids or whatever, man. It's fucking insane, man. But that's I'm proud to be an American. Another story that's here and proud to be an American is, you know, y'all's president is out here trying to delay the goddamn election, man. So I think this dude like knows he's stands a very good chance of losing come November. But he's trying to sow doubt in the process already. And he's raised the idea of delaying the presidential election. So we get this video here. This comes out of NBC News. Let me go ahead and pull this up so you guys can watch right along with your man. Hold on just a second here. Here we go.
Facing an uphill battle for a second term and the worst quarterly economic plunge on record.
That these elections will be fraudulent. They'll be fixed. They'll be rigged.
President Trump is preemptively casting doubt on the integrity of the November election just 95 days away, arguing without evidence that mail-in voting due to the pandemic will guarantee the election is rigged.
I don't want to delay. I want to have the election. But I also don't want to have to wait for 3 months and then find out that the ballots are all missing and the election doesn't mean anything.
That following this tweet suggesting the election be postponed, writing, "With universal mail-in voting, 2020 will be the most inaccurate and fraudulent election in history."
Hold on a second. So this tweet, as it reads, it says, "With universal mail-in voting, not absentee voting, which is good, 2020 will be the most inaccurate and fraudulent election in history." Hey, y'all, let me tell y'all, let me let y'all in on a little secret. Mail-in voting and absentee voting are the same. They the same thing, y'all. This nigga be talking out of both sides of his mouth. Mail-in voting and absentee voting are the same thing.
And suggesting delay the election until people can properly, securely, and safely vote? The president has no legal authority to delay a general election. The Constitution says that power lies solely with Congress. And there's no evidence mail-in voting leads to widespread voter fraud. Top Republicans dismissed the president's idea.
We'll cope with whatever the situation is and have the election on November 3rd as already scheduled.
Never in the history of the federal elections have we ever not held an election, and we should go forward with our election.
In April, Joe Biden predicted President Trump would try to delay the election. And at the funeral for Congressman John Lewis, who spent his life fighting for voting rights, Former President Obama attacked President Trump without ever mentioning his name.
There are those in power who are doing their darndest to discourage people from voting by closing polling locations and targeting minorities and students with restrictive ID laws and attacking our voting rights with surgical precision.
And this morning, the Washington Post is reporting that the Postal Service is now experiencing days-long backlogs of mail across the country after a top Trump donor, now running the agency, put in place new procedures described as cost-cutting measures. Postal workers are now warning those policies could undermine their ability to deliver ballots on time.
All right. So I was actually getting ready to say just that, right? So here's the thing. This dude, he's already trying to undercut whatever the results of the election were, right? He did this in 2016. Like, he did this in 2016. The whole time Donald Trump was running in 2016, he talked about the election being rigged. The whole thing is rigged. The system is rigged, this, that, and the other. And then he won. And then once he won, no longer was the system rigged. It's only not rigged unless he wins, right? And so already he's trying to lay the groundwork, like, you know, to get people talking, like, yeah, you know, we can't trust this because more people got to vote by mail, right? Now, here's the other part about this. As they talked about in the story, you've got a postmaster general who was appointed by Trump, and the only reason why he was appointed by Trump was because this dude was a donor to Donald Trump. That's his only motherfucking qualification for the job. And his reasoning for being there is to slow down the mailing system, right? Because if Donald Trump knows that the election is kind of being hinged on the reliability of the Postal Service, if he can throw a monkey wrench into that program, then damn it, he will. And if he can have a crony in that particular position, then damn it, he will. So, like, as this is going on, and as I've talked about this on this show ad nauseum, man, like, for those of you who are under this illusion that your vote does not mean anything, why in the fuck would Donald Trump be going through all this trouble if it didn't? Why would he be trying to, like, make sure that you didn't have access to that ballot? Why are they closing polling places? As a matter of fact, if you were worried about the integrity of the election, why are you not putting more funding towards the Postal Service? Why are you not putting more funding towards polling places across the nation? Why are you putting more restrictions in front of people to keep them away from the access to their franchise? If you were concerned about the integrity of this election, then you would be doing everything you could to protect it. But that's not what we're doing. We're doing everything to kind of undercut it, but we're not doing anything to, like, protect it. And so, yeah, man, make sure y'all vote. Make sure you're registered to vote. If you can vote absentee, go ahead and vote absentee. You get your vote in early. I voted in Michigan's August. Well, Michigan's primary is this coming Tuesday, I believe. I voted 3 weeks ago. My vote's already in. And when it comes to the general election for, like, president, chances are my ballot will be here early, and my ballot will be in early. I can't wait to fucking vote because it means that much right now. And so, yeah, man, Donald Trump out here trying to delay the damn election, man. That's crazy. But that's in Proud to Be an American. Now, I got something here in Proud to Be an American that damn near was in Blue Blazes, man. Real talk. Almond Bundy of the Bundy Fund family that took over, like, a wildlife refuge and shit. Almond Bundy came out in support of Black Lives Matter and talking about defunding the goddamn police.
Well, that'll be a monkey's bare-assed uncle.
Man, I swear to God I am. So I'm going to read his story here. This comes out of Yahoo.com. It says, Almond Bundy, an anti-government activist who led the 41-day armed takeover of the Malheur National Wildlife Refuge back in 2016, expressed support for the Black Lives Matter movement and for defunding the police in a recent Facebook video. He said in the video that he considered attending his near his home in Boise, Idaho, a rally with the Black Lives Matter in support of defunding the police because, yes, the police need to be defunded. Now, this video, so let me go ahead and pull the video up so y'all can watch. Let's do this here. All right. Let's see what he's talking about. As soon as this thing loads up. All right.
I simply was going to go to a rally with the Black Lives Matter in support of defunding the police, because yes, the police need to be defunded. And anybody who don't understand that is just somehow must be, I mean, I'm trying not to be, you know, too poignant here, but must have a problem. You must have a problem in your mind if you think that somehow the Black Lives Matter is more dangerous than the police. You must have a problem in your mind. If you think that Antifa is the one going to take your freedom, you must have a problem in your mind. You must not. You must be thinking, you know, you must be hypnotized by these social media code words, or by, you know, conservative talk show hosts that basically put these keywords in your mind to make it so that you think certain things about certain terms, such as defund the police. No, defund the police is the correct thing to do. They become a huge authoritarian bureaucracy that will be the bureaucracy or the people that take away our liberty. They will be the ones to do that. And the only thing that's going to stop them is people uniting to stop them. That's it. I'm sorry. That's what's going to have to happen. But you patriots, if you really want to call yourself that, somehow think that the law enforcement is your golden calf. And you do the same thing with many other things, such as the military, even when they're doing terrible things across the world. I'm not saying that everything they're doing and every person in it, don't get me wrong, are doing that. But there needs to be a defunding of government in general, and especially the police forces, because they're the ones that are actually going to seek and destroy us.
All right. So I saw this come down my timeline on Twitter, and I was like, that's interesting. Like, Armand Bundy, like the same, like I remember his dad came out, was talking about being a supporter of the KKK and everything, like, or like linked to some racist organizations and shit. And truthfully speaking, when you're a part of like those militia type movements, man, a lot of the people that they tend to attract, like those people, like, Timothy McVeigh and, Terry Nichols, like the people who blew up the fucking Oklahoma City, government building, back in 95, I want to say it was, like, these are the types of people that they attract. So to see Armand Bundy out here talking about, I was going to go and walk with Black Lives Matter, and like, because they out here talking about defunding the police. Like, understand that, like, Armand Bundy at this particular moment in time may be on some shit like, yo, the enemy of my enemy is my friend at this moment. And that particular movement over there seems to have some momentum. So if I can get some shit that I want up out of that, then maybe I should go ahead and lend my little support to them. I don't really give a fuck what they talking about, but that particular topic right there, yeah, I'm in agreement with them on that, and I'm going to roll with them on that, and the moment I get what I want, I'm out. Right? I'm out. Much the same way that, like, that Lincoln Project with Donald Trump, you know, like, there's a lot of, like, Republicans and shit who have been, like, for years touting a lot of racist policy and shit, but Donald Trump is a bridge too far for them. So they're going all out. They're putting all these clever ass fucking ads. They're great ads, man. Let's keep it a buck. Great ads. But ultimately, they just want Donald Trump up out of the way. Not that they really give a fuck about, like, you know, the things that, like, we would necessarily care about or be proponents of. And so Armand Bundy at this particular moment in time is just like, yo, man, like, they talking about defunding the police. The police had, we was in a standoff with them for 41 motherfucking days. We lost people. We got people killed behind that shit. I mean, he got acquitted, but, like, yo, people lost their lives behind those occupations and whatnot. And so, yeah, man, it's no surprise that, like, the people who are anti-government would be defund the police, right? Now, I know that there are some people who talk about defunding the police, and when they talk about defunding the police, really what they mean is abolish the police. And then there are some people who want you to mean abolish the police when you talk about defunding the police. I think he's one of those folks who wants you to abolish the police if he could. But ultimately, like, yo, that's, you got to be careful with who, you know, starts attaching themselves to you and why they're attaching themselves to you. Understand what they want and understand why they're there. But it ain't because they want to be your friend. It's not because they want to be an ally to you. They see something in it for themselves. Be mindful of that. Be very mindful of that. But yo, it's almost time for us to get on up out of here. But before we do, y'all know how we do.
The champ is here.
All right. It's Champ of the Week time here at the Spare Report Podcast, man. And our Champ of the Week this week here at the Report is none other than the 44th President of the United States, Barack Obama, man. He's the Champ of the Week this week here at the Spare Report Podcast, man. And the reason why he's the Champ of the Week, they actually kind of alluded to this earlier, was the eulogy that he gave at John Lewis's funeral. Now, John Lewis was the champ of the week this week. John Lewis was the champ of the week 2 weeks ago on the Span Report when we got word of his passing. John Lewis's funeral was this week. And three American presidents speaking at your funeral. You were probably a really important motherfucking guy. But they alluded to this in the story about Donald Trump trying to delay the election. And one of the reasons why I named Barack Obama Champ of the Week this week here at the Spare Report is because of it was a reminder of what it was like to have a competent leader, to have someone in that particular office that you didn't necessarily have to think about every day or what kind of crazy shit they were going to be on every day. You didn't have to think about the stupid shit that they would be on Twitter tweeting all the time, or the conspiracy theories that they would be spinning all the time. It was a reminder of what we used to have, and like, truthfully speaking, what a lot of us are longing to get back to. This is part of the reason why I think Joe Biden is a very good chance that he could be our next president, because there's a longing for what used to be, right? Not in the whole keep America great or make America great again sense, but like, yo, man, we used, like, you know, shit was bad, but it wasn't like this, right? It wasn't like, at least not in my lifetime. Now, I'm sure someone who's older than me, like, yo, Span, like, let me school you to some shit. But in my lifetime, I can't remember a time where it was ever this bad. And so Barack Obama is the champ of the week this week, but let's listen to actually why he's the champ of the week this week. Let me go ahead and pull this up for you guys so we can watch along.
There are those in power who are doing their darndest to discourage people from voting.
These elections will be fraudulent. They'll be fixed. They'll be rigged.
Closing polling locations and targeting minorities and students with restrictive ID laws.
So we want to have an election. I'd love to see voter ID.
Attacking our voting rights with surgical precision, even undermining the Postal Service in the run-up to an election that's going to be dependent on mail-in ballots.
But I also don't want to have to wait for 3 months and then find out that the ballots are all missing and the election doesn't mean anything.
We can witness our federal government sending agents to use tear gas and batons.
We're telling them right now that we're coming in very soon. The National Guard, a lot of people, a lot of very tough people.
That's where real courage comes from. Not from turning on each other, but by turning towards one another. Not by sowing hatred and division, but by spreading love and truth.
And we're telling right now these protesters, and many should be arrested, because these are professional agitators. These are professional anarchists. These are people that hate our country.
So there's a tell of the
tale. All right. So, yeah, there it is. But, yo, man, like I said, Barack Obama, the champ this week here at the Spin Report Podcast, man, real talk. But it is time for us to get on up out of here, man. Like I said, this is the second time we tried to get this in, and we were able to get it all in, man. The power didn't cut off on us this time. But before we get up out of here, I do have to remind you guys how to get in touch with us over here at the Spare Report Podcast and let your voice be heard, man. Go ahead and hit up the hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave us those voicemail messages, and of course, those messages will get read here live on the show and responded to in kind. You can also email us here at feedback@thespanreport.com. That's feedback@thespanreport.com. Go ahead and leave us those emails, and of course, those emails will get read here and responded to here live on the show. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram. My name on both of those platforms is Mr_Span. So go ahead and follow me there. Chop it up with your man Span throughout the week. You can also go to our website at www.thespanreport.com. Go there, watch replays of the show. You can vote in the polls when we decide to put those polls up. You can comment on those episodes. You can donate to the show as often as you like, as much as you like. And of course, we really do appreciate every dime over here at the Span Report Podcast Network, man. Real talk. Also, you can hit up our store and copy yourself some merch. Get yourself a t-shirt or a coffee mug or a face mask, because, you know, we want to keep you safe. There's a lot of stuff in our store, man, so go ahead and get yourself some merch. And also leave us a five-star review on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and Podcast Addict. Leave us those five-star reviews. Those five-star reviews are the ones that get read here live on the show. We really do appreciate everyone who goes about the business of doing that. Doesn't cost you a dime, just a couple minutes of your time to let everyone know why you're rocking with us over here at the Span Report Podcast Network, man. Real talk. But, yo, man, it's getting late, and I will talk to you guys again soon. But until next time, fam, peace.